Welcome to the Beacon Podcast. I'm your host, Angie Sura, VP of Compliance with Navigate HCR. Each month, we will be navigating the seas of compliance trends and topics. So grab a life vest, sit back, and enjoy the ride.
Hello and welcome. I did a recent webinar about a week ago talking a little bit about ACA and what's new, and I wanted to share in my podcast this month some excerpts from that.
Talk about benefit eligibility, and you can't talk about benefit eligibility unless you talk about variable hour employees. So if we think back to the inception of the Affordable Care Act, we know that they made the change that you can't make an employee wait more than 90 days to be offered benefits. But that's still true, that's still the case, but it's for employees who are hired as a full-time employee. What about all of the employees that we're bringing in that are classified as part-time or variable hour? Well, one of the most confusing aspects of the Affordable Care Act is the ability to put into place a measurement period so that we don't have to look back every single month of every employee that is not full time and say, okay, did you have 130 hours last month? If you did, you get offered benefits the following. And then the next month, let's say you don't. Oh, now we've got to remove them and offer COBRA. Nobody wants to do that 12 times a year. So we have the ability to establish a measurement period. Now, the Affordable Care Act states that a measurement period can be anywhere from 3 to 12 months in length. Okay. Now, a lot of folks end up using a 12-month measurement period for their non-full-time employees. What that means is, if the minimum requirement for a month is 130 hours, then if you take 130 times 12, then that would mean an employee has to work 1,560 hours or more during the 12-month measurement cycle in order to become benefit eligible, which is great. Where we run into the snag is, what about those folks that are newly hired and they don't fall in under our standard measurement period for our ongoing staff? When you start having a lot of employee turnover, or you have the type of employer clients who have a lot of variable hour employees and there's a lot of movement, then you're going to end up having a lot of what's called initial measurement period charts going on, and that can get very confusing. So I want to talk just a little bit about the concept of this. So if we have a measurement period, or we want to establish a measurement period, the first thing we need to do is talk with our employer clients and say, based on your industry, let's talk about your options. You can choose anywhere from 3 to 12 months in length. And then talk through what would be the best for their industry. We know that a 12-month measurement period does not work for every employer group. And especially now, when we think about how difficult it's been to hire folks, and I know that a lot of industries out there are struggling to get people hired. So a 12-month measurement may not work for any particular group, or a 12-month measurement may be perfect, but we've got to establish what we're going to set as the measurement of time between 3 and 12 months. The next, we have to pick a start date, or a standard measurement period start date, and that's when it's going to start every year. It's going to be the same every single year, and the best recommendation is that the 12-month measurement period, or 9-month, or whatever it is you're working on, should try to coincide with the traditional benefit renewal. The reason for that is, one open enrollment a year is challenging enough. Let's not try to have two or three. So establishing a measurement cycle that coincides with the renewal is a great best practice. Now, once an employee gets through their 12 months, then we can choose a what we call an administrative period. This is either a 30 or a 60 day period that gives you all and the employer time to get the offer out there, make any adjustments in our technology, all of those things, so that the employee has time to receive the offer and either enroll or decline coverage. After that admin period is what is called the stability period. This is the amount of time that cannot be less than your measurement length, and it cannot be less than 6 months regardless. But this is the amount of time that an employee can remain on benefits, because while they're in stability, we're measuring them again to make sure after that 12 months of stability, which is also going to be consequently the end of the next measurement cycle, will determine whether they can stay on the benefits another year or whether they their hours went so low that they didn't hit 1560 again. Now, why is it so important to have a measurement period established? And again, to establish a proper and legal measurement period, we have to document that and communicate that to employees. How do we do that? We do that in another ACA required document called your summary plan description. Okay? It's super important because now that we are going to have more people than ever going out into the marketplace, which I'm sure is going to open up even more IRS audit letters, having something like this in place where you now have the documentation why an employee was not offered benefits. Because keep in mind, if the CBO estimates $45 billion is going to cost the federal government over 10 years because they're going to be paying out a lot more in tax credits and subsidies, the government's always going to want to recoup that money in some way. So they're going to look at, can we penalize an employer? Well, no, you can't penalize an employer if they have documentation that says an offer was not made because that employee did not meet the minimum hours requirement in our 12-month measurement. Documentation is always key when it comes to surviving an IRS audit.
I hope you enjoyed that little excerpt from a recent webinar. Stay tuned. We are always excited to talk about the Affordable Care Act and employer compliance. Happy navigating!